Please be seated. And now that it's summer and we don't have Sunday school, it's time for a children's sermon. So if the children can come up, I need some help this morning to tell the story. So come on up. Okay. Everybody, I want you to be take a puppet. This looks like a sock, but it's actually a puppet.
Puppy.
We're going to have a puppet show today. Okay. Put your hand in there and make a puppet, all right? We got white puppets, we got brown, gray puppets. Okay? You want a puppet? Gwen, you want a puppet? Okay, good. Jeez, I don't know how many socks I have here. Okay, good. I'm ran up. You guys don't have to do socks. Okay, all right. Yeah, that one's got a... Okay. Now, well, I'm going to tell the story this morning. Okay, now listen. I'm going to tell the story this morning that's in the Bible, and the story has got some herd of pigs in it. Okay, and so I want each one of you to be one of the pigs. Okay? Now, whenever I say pig, I want you to make the sound that a pig makes. What's that? Yeah. So, when you hear me say the word pig, I want you to say oink, 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 oink. Okay? Now, in the story, the pigs go down the hillside and go into the lake. Now, the altar is going to be the hillside, all right?
Okay.
That's where the hill is. And this is going to be the lake here. Okay? This is the lake. So, when it's time for the pigs to go down the hillside in the lake, this is what I want you to do, one by one. Okay? I want you to take your pig and go oink, 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 oink. Splash. Because the pigs all jump in the lake. Okay? All right. Okay. I'm Jesus, and I hope you'll pay attention to this story. I came to this land to see the people there and to pay attention to them. Jesus! Jesus! What are you doing here? I'm tormented by you. Why do you come here and cause me so much trouble? Oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way. You seem very upset. What's the problem? It's all those pigs! Oink, 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 oink. Oh, that's all right. Don't you worry about them. They're not going to hurt you. Well, the trouble with me is that I've got demons inside me. They're like evil spirits, and they're making me crazy. I can't even live in the city. The people tell me to go out of the city, so I have to live in the cemetery. I feel like I'm going crazy. I feel like one of those pigs over there. Oink, oink, oink. Good. Oh, I'm sorry. That must be very hard. What can I do to help you? Well, the spirits inside me are driving me crazy, and they tell me that they don't want to go into the pit. They know that you can send them into a pit while they'll be in prison forever, but they want to go out into the pigs. All right, then. You demons, I tell you, leave this man and go into the pigs. Out the demons go. And they go into the pigs, and the pigs go across the hillside.
Okay.
Good job. Good job. Oh, Jesus, I feel so much better. I am in my right mind now, and I feel normal. Thank you so much, Jesus, for saving me from the demons that were in me. That's all right. I want to go and follow you wherever you go, Jesus. Let me follow you. Well, I don't want you to follow me. What I want you to do is to go into the city and tell everybody the wonderful things that God has done for you. Hey, everybody! I want to tell you what Jesus has done for me. He has saved me from all the demons inside. I'm back in my right mind. Jesus did this for me. And that's the end of our story. Now, thank you for helping me tell the story. Now, for the adult sermon, when I say pigs, I do not want to hear oink, oink, oink. It's a wonderful story, and there are so many things you can do with this story. We sort of told it from the point of view of the man who had the demons and was healed by Jesus. And so for this adult sermon, I'd like to think of it more from the point of view of the people in the city who saw this happen. In the summer of 1976, I was working for the Forest Service in northern Idaho. And I shared a house with several of my friends, and it was an old house, and it had a reputation of having a ghost. The ghost even had a name. The ghost was Tessie. We never saw Tessie, but Tessie was kind of handy because you could blame things on Tessie. If the breakfast was burned, you could say, well, I don't know, Tessie must have come in and turned up the burner too high. Or our female roommate would say, who left the big mess in the bathroom? And we would shrug and say, must have been Tessie. It's always handy to have someone to blame things on. It's sort of a human tendency that we would, when there's a problem, we want to blame things on someone else. And so we find someone. Especially when we're afraid. And in the gospel story today, there's a lot of fear. The people in the city are afraid of the man with the demons. They tell him, go away, just stay out of the city. The man with the demons is afraid of the people in the city. He's afraid of the demons. The shepherds are afraid when Jesus heals the man. Even the demons in the story are afraid to meet Jesus. So there's all this fear in the story. And what we tend to do as humans when we're afraid, we tend to make a scapegoat. You may remember that word scapegoat from the Bible. Leviticus 16 tells a story. Moses told the people that every year they were supposed to bring a goat to the priest. And the priest was supposed to put his hands on the goat and put the sins of the people onto the goat. And they would lead the goat out into the wilderness, out into the desert, and let it fend for itself. And in that way, their sins were forgiven. That's where the word scapegoat came from. So we humans tend to make scapegoats. We take all our fears, all our ugliness, and we project it onto someone or something, and we make that a scapegoat. We blame and we label and we demonize someone else so that we don't have to take the responsibility for our own sins. And historically, we've made scapegoats out of Jewish people, out of African American people. In our families, sometimes even we make a scapegoat out of the black sheep of the family. So this is a universal human tendency. And in the gospel story, the man with the demons has become a scapegoat for the people in the city. They kind of like having this guy around because they can blame everything on him. He's the source of all the problems. And so they can demonize him, and so he feels that he's got all these demons inside him. They tell him you can't live in the city. He has to live out in the country. He sleeps in the tombs. He runs around naked. He screams all night long. He's crazy. When Jesus asks him what his name is, he says, my name is Legion. That's a very interesting word because a legion is the number of soldiers in a Roman battalion. And it sort of makes me wonder, are the people in the city so afraid of the Roman soldiers that they've sort of projected that onto him, and he's carrying that fear around for them. It's one of his, some of his demons. When Jesus meets the man, he treats him like a normal human being. He doesn't treat him like someone who's possessed by demons, but he listens to him. He asks him questions. What is your name? And the man says, the demons in me want to get out, but they don't want to go into the pit. They want to go into the pigs, in that herd of pigs instead. And so Jesus gives them permission. They rush down the slope into the lake, and they perish along with the demons. When the people in the city find out, they are terrified. And they come to Jesus and they say, please go away from here. We don't want you doing this anymore. You've upset the balance. We used to have a scapegoat to blame everything on. And now we don't have our scapegoat anymore. So why don't you just go away? We don't want any more of this change. Things were good before you came. It's hard for people to accept change, even good change. So Jesus accepted the man as he was. He saw through the labels, he saw through the demonizing, and he healed him. The man said, let me follow you, let me go and be with you always. And Jesus said, no, go into the city and tell the people all the things that God has done for you. Well, he went into the city and he told all the people the things that Jesus had done for him. And Jesus, the word about Jesus began to spread. You might say he was the first evangelist. Well, in a little bit, we are going to celebrate the ritual of the Eucharist. Now, the power of ritual is that it allows us to take evil and put it in a symbolic form so that it can be lifted from us. You know, the Bible says that Jesus bore the sins of all people and was sacrificed so that our sins could be forgiven. So you might say that Jesus was the ultimate scapegoat, taking all the sins of the world upon himself so that we might be forgiven. So when we come to the Eucharist, we hear the story of Jesus' sacrifice for us, how God raised him from the dead, and how we're forgiven. And we remember two things. One is that through Jesus' sacrifice, we're forgiven. And the second is, no more scapegoats. Jesus was the ultimate scapegoat so that there might not be any scapegoats again. So I hope that we hear the witness of the man who had the demons cast out of him, and we will remember all the good things God has done for us. Amen.